Okay, tonight is Monday, March 4th, or 23rd day of the month of Adar. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Sukkah, Daf Nun Amud Aleph, end of the fourth parak of Sukkah.
Okay, Rabotai, we're coming to the end of the fourth parak, and we have, last week we focused on, we'll try to, we're going to complete it tonight, the Mishnah statement that the routine concerning Nisuch HaMayim on Shabbos was virtually the same, with the exception of that the water had to be drawn on Erev Shabbos, and it was placed in a utensil which was not a Kli Shareis. And the Gemara asked the question on the bottom of Nun Tes Amud Beis, why couldn't they bring it in a Kli Shareis? Why couldn't they bring it in a Kli Shareis? So Zairi answered, because Ein Shir L'mayim and Kli Shareis Mekachin Shloim Midas. Number one, there is no amount, no minimum, no specific amount for Nisuch HaMayim. And as a result, the Kli Shareis will be Mekadesh anything that's in it. Plus, a Kli Shareis is Mekadesh, even whether you have intention or no intention to be Mekadesh. So as a result, the moment that you draw the water on Friday, by the time the night passes by, it will be subject to the prohibition of Lina, and as a result, it would disqualify the water. Hence, they had to fill it up in a utensil that was not sanctified, so said Zairi. That was his opinion. Chizkiyah said no. Chizkiyah said on the top of Nun Amud Aleph that Kli Shareis is not Mekadesh Elo Midas. So if there is no intention to sanctify the waters of the Nisuch HaMayim on Friday, and the waters will not become sanctified, why can't you indeed fill them up in a Kli Shareis on Friday? Chizkiyah said there was a Gzeira. Gzeira Shema Yomru L'das Niskanshu. Perhaps people will make a mistake. People think that since they see the waters having already been drawn on Friday, they will mistakenly think that the waters were sanctified and come to the erroneous conclusion that Lina doesn't disqualify the waters. So in order to make sure that some ignoramus does not come to such a conclusion, under those circumstances, they decided that the drawing of the water had to take place in a non-sanctified utensil. That's what Chizkiyah said. Tonight we're going to see a third answer. And we spent quite a bit of time on what the significance of this is. It's somewhat unusual that Chizkiyah would be concerned with this in the Beis HaMikdash. It's, think of, Rabotai, what the Isur of Marisayin is, which this is remarkably similar to. Think of the Isur of Marisayin. So what is Marisayin? You are not permitted to do a permissible activity because some yo-yo will think that you are doing something prohibited, and then he will come to the conclusion that that action which you are engaged in is not prohibited today. And that's always the concern of Marisayin. It's not that a Marisayin will worry about Chayshid B'Ksherim, that we're worried that he's going to suspect you of doing something wrong. No. We're afraid that if he sees something and misinterprets it, he will incorrectly misinterpret the halacha. So the classic case is in Maseches Beitzah. You are not permitted to carry a ladder on Yom Tov in order to go ahead and put it near the chicken coop because there is a vice chicken up on the top which you would like to get to slaughter on Yom Tov. Slaughtering on Yom Tov is permissible, but you can't reach the one at the top. So what you want to do is carry a ladder, bring it over to the chicken coop, and just take it up. Just take it out. Well, some airhead is walking by your house. He sees you carrying a ladder, and what does he think you're about to do? Construction.
Fix the roof.
Fix the roof. Exactly. So now he will come to the conclusion that boneh is permissible on Yom Tov. Since he might come to such a conclusion, under those circumstances, the Chachamim have now prohibited this perfectly permissible activity. Yes?
A couple months ago, I think it was, Maris Hein came up again, and I was talking about, you were talking about it by Hanukkah, and you said how that if somebody has two, it lives on a corner,
correct,
they need to light at both entryways, and that was Chosha B'Ksher.
That the Gemara never said it was Maris Hein. The Gemara said it was Chashat. And we pointed out, it's something like Maris Hein, but we pointed out that Hanukkah was unusual because my perception defines your mitzvah. It's the only mitzvah which such a halacha exists. That the way I perceive what you are doing defines your mitzvah. Normally if I do a mitzvah, the way you perceive what I'm doing is irrelevant, immaterial. Only by Ner Chanukah, if you don't see what I am doing and perceive it correctly, I don't fulfill the mitzvah. But so that's a good. I'm glad you remembered that. But it's just an exception to the rule. What, Maris Hein? No, Maris Hein is only based on the misconception of the halacha. It's something like, but I'm not, a lifnei iver is when you're encouraging him to do something wrong. I'm not doing anything wrong. What am I doing? I'm doing what I'm allowed to do. Al pi din, I'm allowed to move the ladder to get the chicken.
And there's no part of it because of chashad.
That's correct, because we're always supposed to say, ha-choshed b'ksherim loike begufo. I have no right to suspect you of doing anything wrong. And if I have no right to do anything, why does the halacha have to tell you to mend your behavior? The answer is, because the halacha doesn't want me to misinterpret the halacha. And I pointed out at the time that Maris Hein is one of the most difficult prohibitions to define because there are no categories. There are no objective categories when you apply Maris Hein, when you don't. Whenever the Chachamim said we do it, whenever the Chacham didn't say it, we're not worried about it, even though it can come up with 60,000 Maris Hein questions. But my question is, we're not dealing with any Tom, Dick, and Harry who's walking by your backyard. We're dealing with what? Who is going to make a mistake and think that you're allowed to go ahead and what? You're allowed to go ahead and pour water which was exposed to Lena. Who's going to think? Some Jew who watched this? Let him think it. He's never going to do the Avodah in the first place. Right? So what he thinks is of no consequence. The only one who could possibly make a mistake and implement is a Zakayim. And we happen to adopt the principle of the normal circumstances that Kohanim Zrizin Hain. The Kohanim know the halacha. They know their melucha. And as a result, if they know their no melucha, why here would I be concerned that somebody is going to perceive that, you know, that they that you're allowed to go ahead? It's actually very difficult to understand Chizkiyah's concern. And we're going to see in a second how far Chizkiyah actually carries this. How far he carries this. However, Tosfos here raises another question.
What does Chizki say about Shear? He agrees with the Shear Mayim?
Yeah, he can say whatever you want.
Either way.
Because once you hold it's Ein Mekatchen Ela Midas, it makes no difference whether yes Shear or ain't Shear. If you don't have intention to sanctify it, it is not going to become holy waters. So, yeah. Tosfos asks another question. That the Gemara here seems to be concerned only with one type of psul called lina. That was what's driving this Gemara. Right? Why did Zairi say we should not sanctify the waters in a klisha race on Friday? Because of the possibility that the waters will become sanctified on Friday, not going to be used until Shabbos for Nisach HaMayim, and the apostle asks Taisvis, there is another equally compelling prohibition, and that's called Yotze. Yotze. What does Yotze mean? That once something has been sanctified, for what? Ritual service in the Mikdash, you can't bring it outside of the Mikdash any longer. You can't. So there is another reason why they could not have sanctified the waters on Friday in a klisha race. Not only because of the fact that the waters, had they become sanctified, would be exposed to the psul of Lina overnight, even if there were no such psul of Lina, asks Taisvis, they should be disqualified instantly. Why? Because the moment you sanctify them, what happens? They are outside of what? Of the Mikdash. And there is a psul called Yotze. Namely, that anything that is endowed with intrinsic sanctity of the Mikdash, once it steps out of the Mechitza, of the Beis HaMikdash, it automatically becomes possible.
That's a weekday also.
But, correct! That asks Taisus Afilu Bechol. That's correct. Even on a weekday. Why is the Gemara only concerned about Lina for Shabbos? Ask Taisvis Afilu B'yemei HaChol. There is another consideration called Yotze.
It's not Yotze.
Why is it not Yotze?
Because it's never in the Mikdash. It's something that started inside.
Okay. Hold on. So you could have said that. That in order to be Yotze, it has to be in. Okay, you could say that. But this would be, it would be somewhat of a little on chiddush. That if you why would we normally say, what would be the psul if it would be Yotze then? You're saying that the only way it's possul is if it starts inside and then goes outside.
Yeah.
Why? What's the lumdus today?
It's like a carbon. Once you have a piece of carbon in the Azara, and I'm using Azara, it's possible.
Okay, so, but that's not the Shutichutz is not
a.
No, that's just.
Regular carbon. What's a regular carbon? Carbon shomim, right?
And I take it out, it's possible, before I slaughtered it.
Right.
It's possible. Why? Because it was Yotze.
Right.
And what does Yotze mean? A Dover Kadosh outside of the framework of the Mikdash. See, what you're doing is you think that the psul is the exit. And Taisus understands, perhaps correctly, that the definition of the Isur is not to exit. Exit is normally the way the Isur would take place. Because 99.999% of the time, where does the sanctification originate? In the Mikdash. So the way you would get it out of the Mikdash is to go out. But Taisus understands that it's not the physical exodus that generates the psul, but what generates the psul? Mm-hmm. The fact that something is kadosh outside of the mechitza. If you take something kadosh and it's not in the proper kedushas makom, that is considered yotze.
So are you allowed to take the klisha race outside?
What?
Take the
That's going to be part of Tysus' answer. We'll see.
What about anything that were makdish?
What about it?
How does it ever exist? How does anything ever kedusha exist out of the base?
So it's a good. So now you have to see what type of kedusha is endowed when I'm makdish something to the base hamikdash. It's kedushas bedek abayis, not kedushas mizbeach, not kedushas mizbeach. Kedushas Mizbeach is when it's in the Mikdash, ready for what? For Hakrava.
Korban Pesach too, is that
later? Same thing. The Gemara actually says that sanctify a Korban, famous lines in Bava Kama Daf Ayin Aleph, Me'ikara Tura Deruvain, V'hashta Tura Deruvain. When you sanctify, yet it has some degree of Kedusha, there's no doubt. But I'm the owner of it. It has not yet transferred ownership to the Beis HaMikdash. It's mine, and it's still mine until it enters the mechitzos of the Beis HaMikdash.
Even Bechor?
What?
Bechor also?
That's to some. It's again, A bechor is kadosh merechem imo, but it requires my act of bailum to be mekadosh it, and yeah, to some extent it's called mine. The Gemara discusses that by damage. Normally the halacha is that for gzela you have to have re'ehu, right? Kiigof ish, or by nezek. Kiigof ish eshor re'ehu. If my axe damages another axe, my friend's axe. So the Gemara Bava Kama discusses, what happens if my axe damages an axe that was dedicated to the Mikdash? Says the Gemara, I'm chayiv to pay. Why? Because it's still called your axe. That's where the Gemara says, Me'ikara tura de Ruvain. Initially it was Ruvain's axe. V'hashta tura de Ruvain. So it has certain halachas. I'm not saying no, but the bialim I'm struggling myself how to conceptualize it. So, but Tosfos asks: once something has been sanctified in a kli shareis, it should be subject to yotzei.
What about the carbon omer?
What
carbon omer? When they cut it, is it?
It's not yet sanctified.
It's
not yet sanctified. Absolutely not.
Bikurim also?
Sancti would be Kurim. Bikurim only become Kadosh when you enter the Isser of... it's a good question. All these cases. You have to bring the fruits as Bikurim. You have to designate it. But their intrinsic Kedush is only when you enter the Mikdash. Again, it's... I don't have... What? Hareza Olo. But that's just it. Hareza Olo, that's where the Gemara says it's still mine. And if your ox gores my korban oila, you'll have to pay the damage. It's still called shor re'eyu, v'lo shor shel hegdesh. When is it shor shel hegdesh? When I brought it into the mikdash. Now it's shor shel hegdesh. So again, I hear the difficulty. I don't have a good handle. But that Tosfos is kasha.
Isn't it simply a matter of different levels of kedusha? You know, you designate or define different levels of kedusha.
That's what you're going to have to say. And when it's a kli shareis, Tosfos' question, it should be subject to the psul of yotzei. So Tosfos answers, based on a Gemara in Menachos, Tosfos answers that ein kli shareis mekadesh ela b'fnim. Okay? So a kli shareis cannot sanctify anything unless it's inside the mikdash. Its power to sanctify outside of the mikdash doesn't exist. Therefore, what are we not worried about as soon as you fill it up? What are we worried about?
Not worried about yotzei.
Not yotzei. Good. So Tosfos now continues and says, if that's the case, why couldn't they use a kli shareis on Friday afternoon, on Friday morning? What was the concern with the kli shareis? So, if you were to use a kli shareis on Friday to draw the water, what would happen? What was the Gemara's concern?
It's
going to become lina. So, how would you now avoid the lina issue?
Just leave it right outside.
Exactly. Draw the water in a kli shareis and leave the kli shareis at the doorstep of the mikdash.
You have the issue on Shabbos then.
What?
You have otzah. You can't bring it in.
Okay.
Oh, draw on Shabbos.
That's the whole premise of the Gemara.
Okay. No, but... what?
That's the whole premise of the Gemara.
So maybe... Maybe there is a difference between drawing the water from... once you're in the mikdash...
You're not in the mikdash.
Okay, not the harabais. Let's assume I don't know where carrying would be permitted on the harabais. I don't know where exactly. Let's operate just for arguments on the harabais. You're allowed to carry. So no, certainly that's already allowed to carry. But I'm saying even before that, so Tosfos says in theory they could have done that. They could have done that, but it's pasnished to leave a kli shareis outside the mikdash overnight. Zelomatim is a pasnish. To take a sanctified utensil of the mikdash and fill it up and leave it outside is pasnish. So if that's the case, Tosfos really caves in and says, I really don't have a good answer. But But ask the better question on Tosfos. If Tosfos is correct, and that the halacha is that ein kli shoreis mekadesh ela bifnim, ask the question, the more sharper question. Not I could have left it outside. What's the sharper question then? Think about even a regular weekday.
So,
think about a regular weekday. Forget about the Shabbos issue. What question would you now ask on the Mishnah's protocol of Nisuch HaMayim in light of Tosfos' citation of this Gemara Menachos? That ein kli shoreis mekadesh ela bifnim. What question would you like to ask on the general protocol of Nisuch HaMayim? Why bother taking a kli shoreis to the Shiloach? What did you accomplish? What did you accomplish by taking kli shoreis out of the Mikdash and bringing it to the Shiloach and filling up the water? Have you sanctified it? No. So what could they have done all year, every day? Take an ordinary bucket, fill up the water, and come into the Mikdash and pour it into kli shoreis, and that would be it. What's the whole tekes, the whole spiel, that on Sunday through Friday they would go ahead and draw the water to kli shoreis? I can understand there is significance to the kli shoreis experience if the kli shoreis is mekadesh. So you want to be mekadesh the water during the she'iva, as the pasuk says, ushavten mayim b'saso, that there is a kiyum in the she'iva. But if Tosfos is committed to the position that there's no kiddush kli unless you're inside, so what is accomplished by taking a kli shoreis out of mikdash? Just take an ordinary pitcher, fill it up, and on Shabbos morning or on Tuesday morning, put it into kli shoreis, and now be menasech agave mizbeach. That's a question which doesn't really get answered.
You avoid tuma issues.
What?
You avoid tuma.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, what to avoid?
Tuma.
By having what?
So you have a kli that you know is tahar.
Okay, perhaps, maybe, that's possible. Okay, that's possible. So that's point number one. Point number two, Chizkiah, which we just read tonight. Chizkiah says that a kli shoreis is not mekadesh ela midas. So in theory, could I have brought the waters on Friday and let them sleep over the night in the Beis HaMikdash? Could I have done so? Yes. The answer is yes. Why don't I do so? Zerushem yir l'das niskanshin. Okay, so that's why I don't. So now comes the question, what happens if I didn't listen to Chizkiah? I didn't listen to the Mishnah. And I went out on Friday morning and went and took my kli shoreis and drew the water from the Shiloach and brought it into the Mikdash. And now, when it's in the Mikdash, Shabbat morning, that's when I have in mind to be Mekadeshit. Would you say that the Kayin was Mekayin, the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim? Are these waters eligible for Nisuch HaMayim or not? What would you say? What would your logic say? What would your logic say? Yeah. But of course they are. 100%. So the overwhelming majority of Achronim say that there is no doubt that even though Chizkiah explains why the protocol was that on Friday they did not fill it up in a kli shoreis, because some yo-yo would think that it was sanctified, because he doesn't realize that ain kli shoreis mekadesh ela ladas. He doesn't remember that. So he thinks that they sanctified. And then he'll come to the erroneous conclusion that sanctified waters that have spent the night in the Mikdash are not subject to the psul of Lina. Okay, so that's very nice, lechatchila. But b'di'eved, is there any inherent psul in the waters? Of course not. However, the Mishnah Lamelech, commenting on the Rambam and Hilchas Psulei HaMikdashim, says that apparently it would be possible. He just writes as a davar pashut that Chizkiah says that the waters are disqualified. Take the sheet that I gave you, which is the Rambam's psak. The Rambam's psak. The Rambam's psak about this whole issue, it's Perek Gimel, Hilchus Psulei Hamidoshin Halacha Chav. Kol Kli Hashareis Ein Mekachin Ela B'Mikdash. So the Rambam writes, and in accordance with Tosis's quotation of the Gemara Menachos, that a Kli Shareis only has the capacity to sanctify in the Mikdash, Ve'ein Mekachin Ela Midas. And as Ze'iri said, as Chizkiah said, that a Kli Shareis is only Mekadesh Midas. Ve'ein Mekadshin Ela Mitoichon. The only way that a Kli Shareis can sanctify is if it enters its airspace, its Toich, Tochon. But the mere fact that it touches the walls of a Kli Shareis, the exterior walls, will not sanctify that at all. Ve'ein mekadshin elo shleimin, and they can only sanctify as if the cup, if the kli is whole. But if it has a hole in it, if it's got a hole in it, and then it's no nikvu, if it's got a hole in it, im osin me'ein melachton shehayu osin, ve'ein shleimin mekadshin, ve'im lav ein mekadshin. If it has a little hole, but that hole is not sufficiently wide to preclude what? It filling up. It will hold the water to which, into which it's poured. That Kli Shareis would be Mekadesh. Ve'ein Mekadshin Ela Mileim. Aval Hamidos Ein Mekadshin Chaseros Ela Imdato Limalosan. Ela imdato milamosa.
Which is it?
Meaning, it normally requires full measure. I hope you'll see the inherent contradiction in the Rambam in a second. It requires full measure. So something needs three lugin. A Kli Shareis will be mekadesh only if what? If there are three lugin. But if there is less than that, aval hamidos ein mekadshin chaseros elo imdato limalosa. But if it has less than three lugin, it cannot sanctify unless you had what? Intention to what? To sanctify. What question are you going to ask?
Which is it?
Why do you have to say it?
So
why do you have to say the second part?
Say the question a little sharper. A little sharper. What did the Rambam say at the beginning of the halacha? How can a Kli Shareis be Mekadesh?
Only
Midas.
No, if it's Mali, why does he have to say the opposite of it?
Okay, no, but the Rambam says that, he says that the Rambam writes that you can be Mekadesh is only Midas. Now he discusses volume. If the shear is, it normally is only Mekadesh if it's exact measure. But if it's less than the exact measure, it will not become sanctified unless what? You had in mind. What do you mean? If it has the exact measure, the Rambam just said, what did it need?
Das.
Need a das. What did not? So what's the Rambam talking about here?
Is Malayan mean the shear, or means that the kli is full?
No. He means full shear. Because you can see, he writes, Aval Hamidos Ein Mekadshin Chaseros.
What does midos mean?
The measurement.
When you're using the kli to measure?
No, it means the measurement. Whatever the measured requirement is, will not be sanctified if it's less than that midah, that required measure.
I don't understand the question.
Unless
the Rambam said that if you have a situation where less than the required measurement was poured into a utensil, in the ordinary circumstances, it will not be sanctified unless you had in mind to sanctify it.
Right.
Problem is, the Rambam said 5 seconds ago that in order for anything to be sanctified, you need das.
Well, I think I understand it as like a bidyevik case, right? Well, normally you're trying to fill up three lugin, so you would grab a pitcher that holds three lugin. Right now, let's say for whatever reason he sent Cohen to the leader that only had 2.5 lumen, which is under the amount he needs. But he knew it was under 2.5, even though that's not the amount he really needs to have the 3 lumen. It's still a kaddish because he had that in mind. That's what he's saying.
No, but and if he didn't, let's assume he even if it has the 3, it's not the kaddish unless he had in mind to do it. Because the Rambam paskins ain klisharis mekadesh elo midas. So why does he have to tell me that you need das only in what situation? Where it's short. Where it's short of the measure, and if you want to be mekadesh part of it, you can do so in midas. The Rambam already said, I already ruled that there is no sanctification unless there is das. So what's he hacking a puppet?
No, but if I have in mind to mekadesh measurement, and I'm wrong, it's not a full measurement, it's not mekadesh.
That's what I was saying. I'm saying
you have to have. You
mean to me that he made a mistake?
I've done this clear.
When the Rambam says, "Aval amidos ein mekachos chaseros ella in dato lemalosa," what does that mean? What is dato lemalosa? I know it's missing the shear.
Do we have any kelim in the mikdash kusharis that don't require a full measure? That are not, you know, that they fill up to the brim because whatever there's no minimum,
right.
Maximum. Is that? We must have kusharis in the mix for that.
Yeah.
Those makadish, when they're, he fills it up in makadish. He's not measuring the exact measurement. He's makadish whatever he's taking. He's taking a
different size.
But that's a different issue, whether sheer lamayim or not.
But he's not talking about different issue. In general now.
That's a different issue.
He's saying
whether or not a klisharis can be makadesh, something which is more or less than the sheer when a specific sheer is required. What does it look like from the Rambam, he's saying?
When it comes to this, but in midos, when you have to have an exact measurement, then you have to have an exact measurement, or you have to have in mind, you do it piecemeal. But once you're taking something that doesn't require measurement, you bring a mikurim, and you put it into a bowl, okay? You fill it up, it's mekadesh.
Without having das?
No, it has to have das. But as soon as you fill it up, it's mekadesh.
So what difference?
But he has to fill it up. You can't.
Why does he have to fill it up?
He said malayin. That's what he's not promising. You have to fill it up.
And if it's not malayin, it's not Mekadosh. Right. But if you have in mind to be Mekadosh, no, it will be Molay.
No, he's not saying that. He's saying if it's something that requires exact measurement, midos, you need exact measurement. At the end of the day, you have the exact measurements there. If you're doing something that doesn't require measurement, the clay has to be full.
He's talking about two different types of das. There's das to be Mekadosh, and there's das to fill up the cheer. Two different things. Even if he had the das to be Mekadosh,
right.
Now, it's not full, so the das to be mekadesh is not going to work on its own.
But so you have to have a special das to be mekadesh, something that's less than the shear.
Correct.
Not that's what he's saying.
Das to fill up, to make the shear.
Okay. Perhaps, maybe.
Although, what does he mean by malayim? Why bring it at all? What does that mean? It means it's full.
What's the difference between shleiming right? And malayim?
So if you have a kusharis, I don't know the example in the Midrash where they have something that will measurement. If we sure it must be something.
Doesn't the water of the Kohen have to wash? That's no shear. I mean, that has to be Mekudosh.
That's
right?
Correct. The Mayim of the Kiyar is, in fact, the Gemara is going to talk about it in 2 seconds.
And there's no shear on that.
Then there is no shear on that.
You have to fill, whatever Kli you're using has to be full in order to sanctify your diamond and your client.
I don't know. I don't know. And then with the Rambam ends. V'im ein da'ato l'malosan mikachos lihipasel of a lowly karev. Meaning, if I did not have adequate I didn't have any das to be mekadesh it, and I put into a klisharis, doesn't mean that nothing has been accomplished. What's happened? It's sanctified sufficiently to disqualify it from being used. But it's not sanctified sufficiently to actually use it. But it doesn't. It's not as if it's nothing.
And it has to be burned.
So yeah, it burned, spilled out, whatever. That's right. Correct. It can't be used for your personal use. You and me would have said that if you require das and you are not mekadesh it, what happens?
Nothing.
So it's nothing. It's just ordinary water.
Thing, not, you don't mekadesh at all. He's saying if you didn't have measure and you don't have mind to fill it up. Malosin, you don't have mind to complete the measure. You have 3 lugim, and you put 1.5 lugim in there, and you have no intention of, Someone else will do it. So then it's you had.
But again, it means you did not have das to be mekadesh.
You had das to mekadesh. You didn't have das to finish up because you just.
It's like you said, you're going to take two trips. You're going to take one and a half lugin, and then you're going to take another one and a half lugin.
Okay. So then it becomes puzzle.
Right, because you had a bond mekadesh. It was mekadesh somewhat, but you didn't fill up the measure. So therefore, you can't bring it because you didn't have das to.
Dafol malosan. So mekanchos lihi pasel beloli karev. Okay.
So what the guy? What was the guy's? What did he mean that? What was he trying to do? His intention was to put one and a half and stop.
Yeah, he brought one. His intention was to.
He brought one and a half lugin of water. Needs three lugin.
Right.
And he knows that.
And he says, "I'm not going to add. I'm not ein dato lemalos. I'm not adding."
Didn't have positive intentions.
Okay, perhaps. I don't know.
What
is it?
Okay.
He didn't say Indata Makachi, he said Indata Lamalos. You're right.
He didn't mean to ask.
But he didn't do that.
Ambiguous. I guess.
It is a little ambiguous.
The language might mean something specific to him.
What's the difference between Shlamim and Malayim?
Malayan means the shear that is required. Shleiman means that the utensils are all full.
Right. It's full? No, not Malay full. Shalei means that it's not broken.
Oh, okay. Right. Shalei means that it's not broken. Malayan means that the full shear is there.
But nowhere does he say that the kli has to be full.
That's correct.
I don't know.
Well, that's what you said before.
I know. But there is a halacha that in order to demonstrate chashivus, you don't bring empty things. So when you require shnei lugin, there is a special klisharis that holds shnei lugin. Right. But the halacha is, if you put a shnei lugin in a shalosh lugin, it's kosher. It is kosher, but it's not the best way to do it because you don't bring something to the mikdash which doesn't look full, because full is an indication that's the way you serve something. You don't serve a half a glass or something. You fill up the glass. What? Al kois yayin malei kiver kas Hashem. Exactly.
The same word.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me get invited.
It's confusing.
Let me get invited. It is a little confusing. The Mishnah Melech says, just quoting Chizkiah, that he doesn't write b'di'evet it's kasher. He says, Chizkiah says it's pasul on the bottom, gzeira. He quotes it on the second half of the column. V'da da af l'man d'yom the kli sharis ein mekachin shalom midas mikol makom mishum gzera the shemer yomru das niskachu miskachin hani. That even that
the second gzera that maybe
that's correct. That even though the halacha is, according to those who hold that kli sharis is only mekadesh midas. Nonetheless, there is an opinion that even if it was Shaloi Midas, it'll still be possible. Why? Because what will people say? Gzeir Shema Yomru, what did you do? That you were Mekadesh it. And he doesn't say that it's only Lechatchila, not the Dievet.
Oh, he's saying that this last law, with Shaloi Midas and Mekadesh and Afli Pasel, is the Din of Chizkiah.
That's correct. That's what he said. That's the Din of Chizkiah. That's why I mentioned it here. That's the Din of Chizkiah. Okay, let me get invited. That is a third answer in the Gemara. Third answer. Omar Rab Yanai, Omar Rab Zera, Afilu Tema Yeshir Lamayim, Ukli Shares Ein Mekachin Elamidas. So now, there is absolutely no reason not to fill up that kli sharis where? On Friday, in a kli sharis for Shabbos Nisuch HaMayim. But I don't want to do it anyhow. Why? Gzeira Shema Yomru Lakita Shidai V'Raglayim Bil'on. People will say, you know what? This water was sanctified for what? For Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So what? What do I mean? Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Take a look at Rashi. Gzeira Shema Yomru Lekida Shidai Vergalayim. Lekohen Gadol Milum. Vikitshum Bekli. She'ein Mikachim Yadayim Vergalayim. Ela Vamayim Mikudashim. Dumya Dekior. Shinimshach B'Shemen Hamishcha. Umikadesh Esmeimov. Umikadesh Esmeimov. What happens? If you are going to draw the water and not be mekadesh it, people will think that the water drawn is not being used for nisuch hamayim for the next day. Well, what might he think this water is being used for? For kiddush yadayim v'ragleim, for a kohen. Now, kiddush yadayim v'ragleim for a kohen must be mayim mekudashim. But since these yo-yos know the halacha, that the waters for the nisuch hamayim, that a kli shareis is not mekadesh elul, but that they don't know that kli shareis and mekadesh ladas. What's going to happen when they see them bringing in a kli shareis full of water? They will now assume that this is not the water for the nisuch hamayim, which is going to be used tomorrow, and we're going to sanctify it tomorrow morning. Why are we going to sanctify it tomorrow morning? Why? Because of Lina, not going to sanctify it today. They won't know that. They're going to think that the water is being brought in is to enable the Kohen to sanctify his hands, and they will come away with the erroneous conclusion that waters used for Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim don't have to be sanctified. Don't have to be sanctified. And the halacha is that they must be sanctified.
Why would they think they would be sanctified? Why would I get that conclusion?
Because they know that they're not going to be mekadesh the mayim for the nisuch hamayim until the next day.
They think this water is used for kiddush yadayim v'raglayim.
Good, and they will think that what?
So they think that because
they will know the halacha. They will know one halacha. That what? That ain't kli shareis mekadesh elu ladas.
Maybe they think it's for kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, so they're not thinking they don't have a kosher ready.
No, but they know that they'll know everything. That a kli shareis is only mekadesh where? In the mikdash. They know it's not on the dot. So they're going to think, hey, they're bringing in waters from the Shiloach, not sanctified, and a Kohen's going to use it. An Erev Shabbos for tomorrow. What am I bringing it for tomorrow for? Must be not sanctified. Must be that they're using this for what? For kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. It's a very even more far-fetched gzeira than the previous one. Even a more far-fetched gzeira. You have to come to so many mistaken conclusions about the water that, number one, I know the halacha that it's not sanctified. And then I'm going to say, oh, it was being used for something else. So I know one thing. I know that when you bring in a kli shareis on Friday, it's not sanctifying the waters. Because if it was sanctifying the waters, even if it was being used for kiddush yadayim, it would be sanctified waters. So it's very strange.
It's very strange.
Why Rab Zera would come up with such a chashash, such a far fetched chashash?
And they know about Lina.
What?
And they know about Lina. They're very smart.
Very selective in terms of their amaratz.
How does saying Yeshi or Mayim avoid? I mean, not how does that avoid what Hiskia said? The only difference between this one and this year is that Yeshio Mayim. What is Chizkiya saying?
Because there was another way in which you could have.
What did Chizkiya say? Ain't you a Mayim?
No, he didn't comment. Ziri said, number one, ain't Shir Lamayim, and number two, Kli Sharis Mekachim Shlomida. Correct. Rab Zera disagrees on both counts. Correct. Continues the Gemara. Nishtapcha o nisgalsa. The Mishnah made a statement that if the waters spilled out or they became exposed, then you no longer use the waters from the Shiloach, and you what? You fill up the waters from the Kiyor for the Nisuch Hamayim. Ask the Gemara, Va'amayim. Li'eved b'misanenet. Why don't you just run the waters through what? A strainer. The thinking is that the eres is somewhat thicker than water. So if you run it through a filter, what's going to happen? The water will become, will fall through. The eres will be trapped in the filter. And as a result, you don't have to worry about the water being eres ridden, which would disqualify the water from becoming, for being used, because you're not allowed to use any waters which there is a potential danger for a human being. Those waters are disqualified for carbon activity.
We've left Shabbos now.
We've left Shabbos, nothing to do with Shabbos.
This is
every day of the week. Lema masnis in the loike Reb Nechemya. Perhaps we can suggest that our Mishnah is not operating according to Reb Nechemya. What does Reb Nechemya say? Kedesanya. Misanenes yeshbo mishum gilui. The Chachamim are of the opinion that even though I run water through a filter, it's still subject to what? To the concern that perhaps a nachash went through, you know, put its venom into it. Amar Rabbi Reb Nechemya, Eimusai bizman shehatachtona megula. Abel bizman shehatachtona mechusa. When I put through something through a sifter, and I make sure that before the water comes through, the bottom utensil was always what? Covered. So if the bottom utensil was always covered, is it possible that a nachash got its venom in there? Absolutely not. As I'm about to pour the water into the sifter, what do I do under my hashgacha? What do I now do? I remove the cover from the bottom one. So I have a guarantee that from the time that I start pouring the water into the bottom utensil, what happens? There are no nichashim coming out of the closet and depositing their errors. Because the Gemara has a very small window of how much you're allowed to leave it, how long you're allowed to eat open. The amount of time is, when you step away, how much time a snake could have come out of a hole, go into the varus, go back into the hole. You'll never notice it. So whatever it is, I don't know how many minutes it is, but it's not a very big window. But if you can take the precautions that there's nothing in this bottom utensil, then you put it through the misanenet, and now you remove the cover, you're guaranteed, says Rabbi Nechemya. Why? Why? Because I believe that the misanenet will catch whatever eres was put into the water originally. And that's what he says. Afal pi shel yonam bizman shehatachtona mechusa, afal pi shel yonam megula, ein bo mishum gilui. Even though the top utensil from which you are pouring the water was exposed for a while, I'm not worried about it. Why? V'nei she'eres nachash dome l'spug saf ve'omeid bin komo. The eres of a what? Of a nachash is to be compared to what? To something that will what? Like a sponge. It'll be what? It'll be caught in the filter. There is absolutely nothing to worry about that it's getting through into the water. So therefore, if Rabbi Nechemya was correct, why would our Mishnah have to say that if the water for the Mayim, for Niske Mayim, became exposed, what do I have to do? I have to chuck them out and use the waters of the Kiyor. According to Rabbi Nechemya, what could I have done? I could have used the water of the Shiloah, just passed it through a filter into a utensil that was covered all along, guaranteed that the eris of the Nachash will not contaminate. Answers the Gemara, no. Afilu Tema Rabbi Nechemya. Ema de Omar Rabbi Nechemya Lehedyot. When will Rabbi Nechemya say that I can be guaranteed that there will be no eres in the bottom utensil once I pass it through a silk filter? That's for you and me. That's for the sakana issue. Avol gavoa mi amar. But to use for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, would Rabbi Nechemya have said that? V'leslei l'Rabbi Nechemya hakrivehu na lefecha secha. Hayirtzecha o yisa panecha amar Hashem tzvaot. This is the famous pasuk from Malachi, Haftorah of Parshas Toldos, where Malachi is lambasting Am Yisrael for bringing the most ugly looking animal that they have in their stock, in their corral. The gesunte ox, they save for themselves. This lame duck, 92-year-old donkey, cow, that's what they're bringing for a korban unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, says Malachi, HaKrivehu na lefechosecha. If you had to bring this as a gift to your minister, because your life depended on him, HaYirtzecha, would he find this pleasing by bringing in this old mule, this old lame? Oh, Hayisa Panecha Amar Hashem Tzvot, would he forgive you for your wrongdoing when you bring this? Of course not. Therefore, when you bring something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't treat it any worse than you're bringing what to your judge right down here. And judge right down here. There is a machloikis as to whether or not this psul of Hakrivein Alfa Chasecha is a din de Rabbanan or a din de Oraisa. A machloikis achroinim. Some achroinim say, since the origin of this particular pasuk is in Divrei Kabbalah, no place in the Chumash does it actually say something like this. The Chumash just says the animal has to be without a mum, without a physical blemish. But age, general overall appearance, is of no significance according to the Torah. And based on the fact that it appears only in rabbinic literature, in Nevi'im literature, it's only a din d'rabbanan. Very much the way many paskin, for example, of shalosh sudot on Shabbos. Eating sudashli shalosh sudot is not a din d'oraisa. Because where in the Chumash is it found? It says Zohar is Yom HaShabbos, the Kach has to make Kiddush. Shomar is to do Malacha. What does it say? You have to eat their three meals.
But would it fall under Zekeli Van Veyu?
What?
Would it fall under Zekeli Van Veyu?
Okay, it might, but Zekeli Van Veyu is only Lechatchila. That would be a perfect analogy. If I take the ugliest looking lulav in the world, as long as it's kosher, it's okay. That's an excellent analogy. An ugly looking Esro, but if it has a pitta, no hole. It could be the ugliest shape in the world, it's kosher. It could be the dirtiest palace on the planet. But if it's got four corners and kosher tzitzis, you yoitz in the midst. So what? So this is a psul, only in the Rabbana. Other Rishonim say that any time that certain mitzvos, which are learned out from Divrei Kabbalah, in Tanakh, I don't mean Kabbalistic, Divrei Kabbalah, which is the code name for Nevi'im throughout the Gemara, have a status of a din d'oraisa. Status of a din d'oraisa.
Is it Sofrim?
No, that's it. Sofrim is Midrabana. And the Rambam writes, for example, by Megillah, Hadvarim Yeduim, Rambam writes, Kriyas HaMegillah Bismana Mitzvah Midrabana Sofrim. Hadvarim Yeduim Shehei Midrabana HaKabbalah. Says the Shagas Aryeh, what difference would it make if it's no one's going to say it's a real d'oraisa? It's not Taryag Mitzvos. So what do I mean that it has the status of a d'oraisa? That all rules and regulations about issues are treated as if it would be a d'oraisa, not a d'rabbana. So when you normally have a suffik, which is a din d'rabbanan, you go sfeik d'rabbanan l'kula. You take a lenient approach. If it's a d'oraisa, you go sfeik d'oraisa l'chumra. And it's Divrei Kabbalah, says the Shagas Aryeh, you have to go sfeik d'oraisa l'chumra as well. L'chumra. Because it has an elevated, exalted status based on the fact that its origin is not purely rabbinic, but also found its origin somewhere in Tanakh. And we have many such halachos where the origin is from Tanakh. Kibud Vayinig is one. The fact that an Avel does not wear tefillin, first day of Avelus. We learned that out from Yecheskel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yecheskel, Pe'ercha chavush alach. You keep your tefillin on. Inference, says the Gemara, everybody else was to take their tefillin off on the first day of Avelus. So that's a din. We learned that out. We accept that. And we consider that Divrei Kabbalah, not necessarily a Din Derabbanan, and the Shagas Aryeh says that all these, whatever halacha is based on resolution, Piskei Halacha, Sfeikah Lachomra, and various others, we now operate and claim that it might even be closer to a Din D'Oraisa. And therefore, says the Gemara, even according to Rav Nechemya, despite the fact that in theory I can filter out the Eres, but for Avodas B'Migdash, that's a no-no. And as a result, if it was Nisgalsa, you'd rather chuck that water and now use the Mayim from the Kiyor instead. Use the Mayim from the Kiyor instead. All right, we'll stop here and we'll start the next parak, next Devach. Get back to a little more easier stuff. A little easier stuff.